Good morning, everybody. My name is Johnny. I'm one of our teaching pastors here. We're so glad that you're with us at Front Range. Welcome this morning, especially if it's your first time here. We hope that this will become a home for you where you can build community, discover your purpose, and grow in your faith in Jesus. We got a couple things coming up I want to let you know about before we get into the message. Next Sunday, May 5th, we are having something in the evening that we call Next Steps. Now, this is an opportunity if you're fairly new at Front Range, or maybe you've been coming for years and you've just never joined us at Next Steps. This is an opportunity where you can get to know some of our pastors and staff. You can hear more about our history as a church, our vision, our values, and where we're going, and how you can get further connected here at the church. So if you've never been before, it doesn't matter how often or how long you've been coming to Front Range, we'd love for you to join us. We've got free food, childcare if you need it. All we need is to know who and how many people are coming. So you can sign up online to let us know, frontrange.org on our events page. You can sign up there. The other thing that's happening 1 week later, on May 12th, Mother's Day, by the way, hint for the dads, we are doing something that we call child dedications. Now, this is an opportunity for us as parents to come before the church to make it a community event for us to say, I am committing to raising my child to know the Lord, to follow Jesus. And we do that together, and it's a big celebration as we as parents make that commitment. And so we want to honor your role, your journey as a parent in raising your children in a household of faith. So we'd love for you to sign up and join us. If you've had a baby recently, and we've had a lot of those, sometimes there's like a stroller corner in the back of the room. Shout out to all of you who have just had babies, or even if you've just got a small child, you've just never done this before, we'd love for you to join us. So again, you can sign up online, frontrange.org on our events page, and join us on the 12th. Now, today we are continuing a series that we've been in called Hello, My Name Is. And we've been looking at different characters in Scripture that God has called by name, and what we can learn from their story, their interactions with God, and what we can learn about ourselves in that. And if you've missed any part of this series, you can catch up on our Series Hub on our website. There's a Messages tab and there's a Series Hub button. And what that is it's just a page for every one of our series where we put the messages, but we also put resources, reading plans, some videos, sometimes a podcast on there to help you take a next step and grow in your faith. I've actually added a resource for today's message, so if you've checked the hub out already, maybe check it out again today for that one. Let me ask you a question. Today, we are going to talk about a guy who messed up big time. Now, can you think of a time that you have made a huge mistake? Just have that in mind as we get into this. We're talking about a guy who made such a big mistake, it's recorded four times in every one of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and we are talking about it almost 2,000 years later. Can you imagine if your biggest mistake was broadcast to the world like that? Like, imagine if you were Steve Harvey a couple of years ago and you announced the wrong winner for Miss Universe. You guys remember that when that happened? Or Warren Beatty at the Oscars. He read the wrong Best Picture winner, and they had a whole moment where they had to stop the whole thing. Can you imagine? I mean, that stuff's on YouTube forever. It's out there. Or like a movie. I thought of this. The Social Network. If you've seen that, it's about Mark Zuckerberg, who started Facebook. Doesn't look like a good guy after you watch that movie. Can you imagine if all of your deepest, darkest secrets were illustrated and immortalized in such a way? What comes to mind for you when you think about that kind of mistake, the thing that you would never want anyone to know about? For me, it's the time I humiliated a kid in our youth group. Now, let me explain before you get a bad image. I mean, it's not that great. So anyway, this was almost 20 years ago. In my home church, I was trying to figure out ministry and who I was as a leader. I was actually leading our band, which might come as a shock. But unlike Pastor Ernest, I have a little bit of musical ability, just this much. And so I was leading our band, mostly students who were just learning their instruments. They're just wanting to have some fun. I took it way too seriously. So we had a rehearsal one day. This kid shows up, our guitar player. We were doing a new song. Starts with a guitar, and I was like, hey, all right, let's run the song. He had not even listened to the song. Now, that was a mistake on his part. The bigger mistake was how I lost it on this dude. I was, we'll just say, unkind. I was ugly, as I would say to my children. And I would never want anyone to know about that moment, so I'm telling it to you right now. The worst thing was, though, there was an entire band watching this happen, and I was just going in. The even worse part was that the lead pastor's wife was at the back of the room, And she watched the whole thing. And so I got the talking to I deserved for losing it on a teenager for no reason at all and just being just the worst to this kid. But it marked me as a person. It showed me dark parts of my personality and my pride and how I treat people. It changed me, and it allowed God to reveal something in me that needed to be worked on and how he wanted me to be more like Jesus and how he was going to work through that mistake to change me. And that's what God will often do with our mistakes and even the pain in our lives. These moments are prime opportunities for God to work in and through our lives. Take Peter, for example. He's the guy that we are talking about today. And if you've got a Bible, you can open up to John chapter 21. It's the last chapter in the Bible. If you don't have a Bible, we will have the scripture on the screen. We'd also love to give you a Bible. We've got them at the Blue Connections tent out in the courtyard. You can just swipe them. We don't need anything from you. Those are there for you. If you are unfamiliar with Peter's story, let me catch you up a little bit to where we're at here. Peter's an apostle, a follower of Jesus. And at this point, if you read the Gospel of John, you get to chapter 20, and it kind of wraps up. Like, if you get to the end of the chapter, it's like, cool. Story's over, but then we get like what could be called an epilogue. Like chapter 21 is just kind of this tag at the end. It's like Lord of the Rings, like Return of the King. Have you ever seen that movie? There's like 16 different endings where the movie fades to black, and then Aragorn's crowned king, and everyone bows to the hobbits, and then it fades to black, and then Frodo and Bilbo and Gandalf sail into the west, and the movie fades to black, and then we follow Sam back to the Shire, and he starts a family, and we're all crying at the end. I lost half of you. The other half of you are my best friends, right? Yeah? Movies are coming back out in June in theaters. Go see them. Anyway, it's fine. Chapter 21 of John is kind of like that. It's another ending. It's an add-on here, but it's this massive, massive moment in the life of Peter, but also in the gospel and what we can learn about God and how he treats us. See, Peter had told Jesus, I am going to be with you until the end. No matter what happens, if these other dudes leave you, I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to deny you. And yet, he denies Jesus not once, but three times. He claimed he never even knew the man that he had spent 3 years traveling with. And it was the biggest mistake that Peter had ever made. Now, Jesus is crucified and buried, and it would have been enough for Peter to have had this excruciating shame that he had to live with for the rest of his life. But it got worse for him, at least, because Jesus rose from the dead. And so then Peter, who's denied him, has to deal with this moment, this mistake that he's made. So we catch up with Peter and a couple of the other disciples in John 21. They've gone back to what they know best, fishing. And they're out fishing in the early day. We're going to pick up here in chapter 21, verse 4. It says, early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. Now, it was early in the morning, but also Jesus, we see when he appears, his resurrected body just has this quality that's like, what's going on here? We don't fully understand what that is. So they're not sure who this guy on the beach is. They can't really tell. In verse 5, Jesus calls out to them, friends, haven't you any fish? No, they answered. This is how I know God's funny. Because he knows good and well they ain't got no fish. And he asks them anyway. You guys got any fish out there? No. So anyway, that's just besides the point. Jesus says, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved, this is John writing this, said to Peter, it is the Lord. As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, it is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and he jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from the shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Now let's pause here. The New Testament was written in Greek. We miss some things in our English translations that the original authors of Scripture wanted us to catch. So, the fire of burning coals, a charcoal fire. The Greek word for that is anthrakia. That word is used exactly one other time in Scripture. John chapter 18, verse 18, to describe the fire that Peter was huddled around when he denied Jesus. John, writing the gospel, inspired by the Holy Spirit, knew exactly what he was doing. in this moment. It's a hyperlink. You guys get an email sometimes and there's a link in there, you click on it, it takes you to a web page. That's what John is doing. He is trying to call our attention to what Peter had done. This whole moment is connected in the Gospels. Verse 15, it says, "When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?' 'Yes, Lord,' he said, 'you know that I love you.' Jesus said, 'Feed my lambs.' Again, Jesus said, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me?' He answered, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' Jesus said, 'Take care of my sheep.' The third time he said to him, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me?' And Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, 'Do you love me?' He said, 'Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you.' Jesus said, 'Feed my sheep.'" So what's happening here? If you just read it on the surface, you think like Jesus is either hard of hearing or he's being intentionally difficult or something here. But what he's actually doing is he's giving Peter an opportunity to redeem himself for every time that he denied him. He is asking Peter, let's run through this mistake that you made. And let's make sure that you and I are on the same page about what's going to happen from here. Let's pour some grace on this mistake that you've made, Peter. He was not going to let the past prevent Peter from the purpose that God had for him in life. He was not going to let him walk in shame and guilt any longer. But this story is about more than just Peter. The way that Jesus treats Peter is the way that he treats you and I when we make our biggest mistakes. It's the same way he treats me when I humiliate a kid in the youth group. It's the same way he treats every single one of us, with mercy and grace. The same mercy and grace that's offered to a man who denied the Lord is the same mercy and grace that's offered to you and I. Here's something that I think is applicable for each of us when we read this story. It's that you are not your mistakes don't define you. Your mistakes don't define you. It would have been easy for Peter to carry a label for the rest of his life, to be known as the denier, just as Thomas is later known as Doubting Thomas, which I don't think is fair, by the way. Peter could have put that on his shoulders and carried that for the rest of his life. But Jesus had already spoken an identity over Peter in Matthew chapter 16. See, Peter's name in Greek meant stone or rock, and Jesus declared that Peter would have a leadership role in the church because of his faith and his declaration of Jesus as the Messiah. And yet, Peter acted anything like an immovable rock when he denied Jesus. This is why I think it's so key that Jesus had already had this moment with him to refer back to, because Jesus is reaffirming his calling. Peter, you are going to have a role in feeding the people of God, in serving the church. Peter's mistake may have derailed him for a moment, but God's plans are often bigger than anything we can do to mess them up. Jesus loved Peter enough to make him breakfast, to look him in the eye, to call him by name, to redeem him. And he does the same for every single one of us. Some of you may think that you are too far gone for God to use you. The beauty of this story is that it shows us what God can do with our mistakes and how he treats us when we mess up. If we're not careful, though, we can carry around these labels, these identities from our greatest mistakes, and allow them to direct our lives in a way that God does not intend for us. Think about the labels. The worst of the worst things that we can carry around, this dark cloud over us, the things that we say to ourselves and the things that other people say to us. Oh, well, you're just a divorced person. Oh, you're a deadbeat dad, workaholic, person who had an abortion, someone who attempted suicide, just think about all of these things, someone who's addicted. Name it. Fill in the blank of the label that you can carry around based on what you've done in your past. Name the thing that someone else has put on you because of something that you've done. The truth is, when we are in Christ, we are no longer defined by our past mistakes. We are defined by God's word and what he says about us. I'll give you one example. In Ephesians chapter 1, it says that you were chosen before the creation of the world to be made holy and blameless in God's sight. You were predestined to be adopted by God through Jesus. You've been given redemption through his blood and forgiveness from your sins. In Ephesians chapter 2, it says that you were once dead in your sins and you've been made alive in Christ. That's what baptism represents, that we're buried with him and raised to new life. And God has done this for us so that he might show his incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us. You've been saved by grace, not by your own works. You are God's handiwork created in Christ Jesus to do good works. These kinds of promises are all over Scripture. In Ephesians, Colossians, Philippians, all over the place. The truth is, friends, your sins are covered, and the good works that God has prepared for you are still prepared for you. In fact, God will often use our mistakes and our pain to fulfill the good works that he has prepared for us. Your purpose is often rooted in the areas of your greatest pain. You're not defined by your divorce. You're a child of God worthy of love and happiness. You're not an incapable mother. You were created and gifted for this. You're not defined by your addiction, your depression, your anxiety. You are loved, cared for. You're not alone, and there is hope. You are healed, forgiven, and redeemed no matter what you've done when you come to Jesus, when you are in Christ. These things are applicable and true of you. God has got a purpose for your life. No matter who you are or what you've done, you're not powerful enough to derail God's plan for your life. So what do? If we find ourselves in a place like Peter where we have messed up, Peter does something amazing here, and it's what we can learn to do in our own lives. It's to run to Jesus. Run to Jesus. In verse 7, Peter throws himself into the sea to get closer to Jesus. Once he hears that it's him on the beach, Peter's like, all right, I'm all in. It's a little messed up. He leaves his bros with the fish in the boat, but it's okay. Peter needs to get to Jesus. He doesn't care. He hears that it's him, and he does whatever he can to get to him as quickly as possible. And no matter where we go, what we do, we can always come home to Jesus and find him on the beach, cooking breakfast, ready to meet with us. Now, this doesn't mean that we take his grace for granted and do whatever we want in our lives and just go all out, but it does mean that when we mess up, he's not going to turn us away. He's ready and waiting to be near to us. If you're checking church out for the first time or the first time in a while, first of all, we're glad you're here with us. Second of all, you may have an idea of God that when you walk through the doors, you're going to get struck by lightning or something, or you may think that you're too far gone, that God's mad and he's just waiting to punish you. And that's not true. The beauty of our God is that he has done everything necessary for us to come to him and to be in a relationship with him, full of love, mercy, and grace. When you run to Jesus, your sins are covered. You belong in the family of God, not because of anything you've done or could do, but because of what Jesus has done. Run to him. Draw near to him. The beauty of this is that we get to do this all the time. To draw near to God, to run to him. We have Scripture, we have his word where we can learn more about him and the plans that he has for our lives, what he calls us to do. We can spend time with him in prayer. Anytime throughout your day you refocus your attention on God and begin to communicate with him, you're praying. That's a moment where we meet with God and he is ready for that. He's waiting to speak, to guide, to forgive, to help us. It is such an incredible opportunity that's open to each and every one of us. We can run to Jesus at any point, no matter what we've done, because he has paid the price for our sins and given us access to God. So run to Jesus. The next thing that we can learn, if we find ourselves in a spot like Peter, is to serve his people. Serve his people. We cannot ignore the fact that in this moment, Jesus not only forgave Peter's denial, but he recommissioned him for service to God's people. And he does it in two ways. One's pretty obvious, the feed my sheep, feed my lambs. That moment is like, okay, he's telling Peter to do something. But there's another more subtle moment. Peter's out in the boat. They're not catching any fish. Jesus asks if they're catching any fish, tells them to throw on the right side, and then they bring in this massive haul. This is another hyperlink. It's a moment in Luke chapter 5 when Peter first meets Jesus. He's in a boat fishing. Jesus does the exact same miracle. Hey, you got any fish? No? Why don't you try the other side? They pull in a massive haul of fish. What's Jesus doing in this moment? He's reminding Peter of something he said to him at that time. He told Peter, hey, from now on, you're going to fish for people. You're going to help me bring people into the kingdom. John 21, Peter's messed up. He's far from God in his mess. And Jesus says, Peter, you still got a purpose to play. I still want you to fish for people. I still want you to bring people into the kingdom. I want you to serve my people. This same thing is what God calls us to do. To go out into all the world, tell people about Jesus, bring them into the family of God, and then to serve them. Every follower of Jesus is called to serve God and his people. We are called the body of Christ, and we're all given different gifts to help fulfill God's purpose, and we're commanded to take his message to the world and then to serve those people that he brings into our line of sight, our journey. We are, as cheesy as it may sound, we are blessed to be a blessing to other people. We are forgiven to spread forgiveness. We are restored to carry that restoration to the world out there that is so broken and in need. And right here at Front Range, there are opportunities for each one of us to use our gifts to serve God and his people. We are in an incredible season as a church. There's this joy and excitement at what God is doing. You can see it. And we are going to continue the growth that we're seeing here at church. I mean, many times when you come into a service, we're having to add rows in the back to make room for people. And it's awesome. We are going to continue that as we open our new church home in the future. And we're excited about that. But we need you. We need every single person who calls Front Range your church home. We need you. We need you to use your gifts. We cannot do this without you. We can't create the environment that you have experienced, which is the reason that you continue to come here. We can't create that environment without more people. We can't serve our kids and our students without more people using their gifts in that way. We need you. I just want to be real with you. This growth is going to keep exponentially going by God's grace, and we're thankful for that. We have a vision to reach people for Jesus, to bring them into this family, and we need every single person to use your gifts. Without you using your gifts, we are missing something. We have a hole without you, and we need you. We want to make this really easy. We're going to put a slide on the screen here with a word to text. Text the word serve to the number that's on the screen. Take a picture of this. Feel free to pull your phone out. You can go ahead and text it as well. What this will do, it's not signing you up right away. This is going to give you a list of opportunities. You're going to get a website back with a list of our teams and a form that you can fill out. Here's my encouragement to you. Go on there, check it out, and sign up to just try something. We're not asking you to join something for the rest of your life. We're asking you to try something. And very often when we talk to people about using their gifts, the response we'll get is like, well, where's the biggest need? Ask every single staff member at this church where the biggest need is, and I'll say, my team's. Mine. Right now. That's not how we do things. We believe that God has gifted you specifically for something to do. We want you to operate in an area where you're gifted and passionate. This is about you using your gifts to serve God and his people, not us filling a hole. We want more for you than we want from you, but we believe that we are all called to do this. So if you text that word, serve, to the number on the screen, you'll get that list back. You can sign up, and let's just start a conversation. Let's see what that might look like. I know all of the excuses. I know all of the, yeah, but this and all of that. Let's figure it out. If it's once a month, if it's once every 6 weeks, I don't care what it looks like. I just know that you have a gift put inside of you that's intended to be used. So let's figure out what that looks like. We need you. We need you for where we're going, for what God is doing in this community. And no matter where you've come from, no matter what you've done in the past, no matter who you are, God loves you and is forgiving you and wants to use you for his purposes. He has a plan and a purpose, and we want to help you live that out. We start every message, every Sunday, I did it today, by saying that we hope this becomes a home for you. A place where you can build community, discover your purpose, and grow in your faith in Jesus. And that's not just a nice line that we say at the top of the message. We believe that. That's who we are. That's where we're going. That's what we want to see in the lives of every single person that comes through these doors and watches us online. We want this to be a home. And in a home, We have different responsibilities. We have different things that we have to do. We're a family. So we want to see that become a reality for every single person. Peter's redemption in this story is just, it's so encouraging to me. It's a reminder of God's mercy and grace when we mess up, but it's also a reminder that God has a purpose for every one of us to fulfill. And it's rooted in telling people about Jesus and serving God and his people. That can look different ways for different people, but that's the heart of what it really is for every single one of us who follows Jesus. Let's do this together. Let's change our community together. Let's fulfill God's purpose for us together. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word and stories like this in Scripture where we can see something that's not sugar-coated. Peter's mistakes are laid bare for us to read about, to learn from, and I'm thankful for that, God, that Scripture is real and that we can see this moment where Jesus interacts with a man who denied him and he forgives him. God, it reminds me of the forgiveness that you offer to every one of us. Lord, as we're in this moment, we're thinking about our biggest mistakes. There may be some shame, some guilt, some feelings of unworthiness. And I pray right now, God, that you would speak to each and every one of us. Speak to our hearts with the truth of the gospel, that because of what Jesus has done for us, his broken body, his shed blood, we are made whole in your sight. We are redeemed. We are considered righteous, Scripture says. If we don't believe it, if we have a hard time believing it, God, remind us throughout the day, through your word, through encouragement of other believers, God. But right now in this moment, I pray that you would cast out the lies that would tell us we're not good enough, that would tell us we're not worthy of your love, God. May you remind us that you sent your son to die for each one of us. And as everyone's heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I want to give an opportunity for us to take a step of saying, I'm going to choose to follow Jesus. I'm going to receive that gift that he's offering me. And I'm not going to embarrass you, make you come forward or anything like that. I just want to give you an opportunity to make that declaration by raising your hand so I can pray for you. If that's you this morning, you want to follow Jesus. You want to run to him in this moment. Just slip your hand up so I can pray for you. Amen. Amen. God, we come before you humbly and just offer you our lives. Lord, remind us again, as I was just saying, of your forgiveness, of your mercy and grace. We trust you for salvation. We receive the gift of your love, knowing that we could never earn it. We could never be good enough. We've tried. We receive what Jesus has done for us on the cross, and we are going to choose to take steps of obedience, to follow you, to do what you've called us to do, to live in the way that you're calling us to live. Use our lives for your kingdom. Make an impact with the gifts that you've given us, Lord. We thank you and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.